Why did you decide that you wanted to run for state representative?
Well, I wasn't happy with some of the things that happened last March. And it's been before that, too. But last March, there was a walkout by some of the Democrats over some of the constitutional carry and that kind of thing. And I felt that when they did that in Wisconsin, that really, really made me mad. And then they did it. They turned around and do it here in Iowa, and it's the same thing. So I went to a couple the Lee County meetings, and actually I was going to run for a supervisor at first, and when I spoke about that, then they asked me if I would do this, so that's where I decided to go ahead and run for the state house.
What was it about their action that got you to the point? I mean, some people would say, oh, I didn't like it, but then they'd go about their daily business. What is it that got you to the point that you decided to run for office?
Well, it's the Second Amendment and Constitution. And when you have – now, he's not running. He's retiring, of course. But when you have Senator Frazee telling us that we should be happy with what they did for us in 2010 – and not worry about that. Well, you know, that's a constitutional right, and you're trying to tell me that you can tell me I can or I can't do something that's guaranteed to me by the Constitution. So, yeah, I didn't like that at all, and I think that kind of stuff needs to change.
What characteristics, qualities do you bring as a candidate?
I'm hardworking. I will definitely work hard for Southeast Iowa. I'm approachable. I have my views, but I'm willing to listen to people, and I can work with people, and I'll definitely try to work hard and get some stuff changed. I believe in smaller government. I think our tax burden's too heavy, and then when we talk about taxes, anytime anybody brings up anything about, like, maybe lowering taxes or not doing something, then they always turn around and talk about increased spending. I'm not talking about reducing the tax burden so we can get our businesses back to going and attract other business, but not necessarily raising it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Iowa that we need to go through and look at and see if we can't lower some of that and eliminate the waste.
I know the biggest thing that has been talked about, and the governor is really pushing for a plan to reduce commercial property taxes. That's been the one that everyone's been talking about. There's been ideas of 8 years, cutting them from 100% to 60%. What would you like to see done? What would you push if elected when it comes to commercial property taxes?
Well, I would probably go along with that. That's one of the big things. We need to reduce the burden on our – and it's not just taxes either. It's the restrictions and regulations need to be looked at. And if they're not current or they're really restrictive, we need to remove them so the businesses can compete. We got a lot of opportunity here to be this way. Our budget's almost balanced. We're not one of those states that's way in the, you know, in a debt. We're actually looking pretty good, and we need to make that better for the businesses here and maybe attract more.
What are some of the regulations that you see as holding back businesses at this point?
Well, it's a lot of, well, you know, it's a lot of federal government stuff, too, and like small businesses being required to have a handicap bathroom. That, for a small business that only employs two or three people, that's ridiculous. I mean, sure, the larger places where people are going to go, sure, but not the small business. And that's what we're talking about, is the smaller businesses. There's all kinds of regulations like that, and you can go on and on and on. And some of the OSHA stuff, and because I think the EPA should be gone anyway, but just those regulations that aren't really in place to – they don't produce anything. It's just like a lot of things. They don't produce anything. They're just hindering production. We need to get rid of those. And it's not going to hurt us. I mean, they're not safety hazards or stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the government-imposed regulations on what you can do and what you can't do with your own business.
What are other ways that you would have to create jobs? I mean, obviously, these things, you're reducing taxes, you're going to – The result would likely be, or I guess many feel the result would be, to create more jobs. What other ideas do you have for bringing jobs to this area, creating jobs, retaining jobs in this area?
Well, I've already started. I've already contacted 6 companies outside the state, just from knowing where they're at right now. The places really don't want them there. So, and I've heard back from one already that they're not happy where they're at, but they're not going to move either. So. But they did thank me for the opportunity. And there's other things like that. And there's companies coming back from China. So I follow a lot of the federal, the local or state and local, but the national news too. And you see that stuff. And then that's a whole opportunity right there. You've got companies that went to China, and now the workforce in China has raised their wages so that it's not effective for them to be there anymore. So they're coming back. Let's get hold of them. Let's get that list of companies that are there, find out who's coming back, and say, hey, when you come back, why don't you come back to Iowa? Come back to Lee County.
One of the things, there was recently the announcement with the fertilizer company. There's been a lot of talk about the state involvement, the incentive package that was offered. Do you think it's a good idea for the state to offer that big of an incentive package to bring a business into Iowa?
Well, it was it's the largest one ever, so no, I didn't think it was. I don't think there's a letter that came out. I don't know how true it is, and then there's that representative up, or excuse me, senator, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And he's talking about that we didn't need – it would have been $25 million would have been enough. So maybe we need to look at that. My personal thing with that is it's an Egyptian company. The Egyptians are now ran by the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't know if it went through now. I haven't been following it. But we were holding back $450 million worth of aid to them. And then here, like 5 days ago, there was another letter about that company specifically being investigated in Egypt for – tax evasion. So, you know, there's a lot of flags for me with that coming in here and the amount of money we gave them to or gave them or didn't give them. But, you know, it's all money that would have came to the county if they would have came here without those incentives. So, you know.
One of the biggest things, probably the biggest thing that the state does, the legislature does, is pass a budget. I mean, you're setting the blueprint for the state. Where would your priorities be when it comes to the budget? What would be your focus or priority areas?
Well, as I understand it right now, I think they had a surplus. So for one, it would just be not to exceed the budget. We can't, you know. There's no more spending past the budget line. There's none at all. And then we go back and we look for ways to reduce it or return some of that money to the taxpayers.
You mentioned the EPA. Are there agencies that you don't feel are as needed in Iowa that are currently in existence?
EPA, the Department of Education, Department of Homeland Security, all of those need to be, well, these are federal level, but they still need to be on. And I always advocate for Department of Education to stay out of Iowa completely, because I believe that the state and the county or school districts should be the ones concerned with what we're teaching, what curriculum we have, how we're spending the money. I would be happy, you know, I'm sure we can find a way to not take any federal money and still improve our schools.
What would be then this? Would there be a role for the state in education? One of the questions I always ask is, what is your vision for education in Iowa? So I guess tying the end of that, what's your vision for education and what role would the state play in that?
Well, the state supports the colleges and the community colleges, so of course they're going to have a role. And then there also would be, like when I went back, when I was in school, we had the state testing to determine what schools were where, what students were reading at what level. That's what you need. You have to have some kind of standardized test. I understand that. That's fine. But it doesn't need to be a test that measures us against everybody in the country. We can measure us against Iowa, and then we'll know where we stand, what we need to improve on, not, you know, working with people from Connecticut, New York, Chicago, L.A., and bunching us in together with them, because we're not the same, you know, not the same people, not doing the same things or have the same problems.
And kind of tying off of that, the involvement of preschool, then should the state fund preschool, or should that be a local thing where if the local boards want to have preschool, they find the money to do that?
It should be local. There's no reason. I don't see the reason or the benefit to extend the school from kindergarten through 12th grade to preschool. I don't see them learning any more between preschool and kindergarten than they would, you know, coming out of kindergarten at first grade any better than they were. I think it's definitely something. But if they want to do it, you know, school board or local place, well, that's fine. But I don't think it should be state mandated.
Is that the same for community colleges? Would you like to see more of the power in the board, but maybe funding, some funding coming from the state?
Well, yeah, as long as the state and the communities that were there are involved in the curriculum and get a pick, maybe, you know, maybe it's a manufacturing town like we are and they need more trades in the school. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's nursing-oriented, that kind of stuff. Indian Hills has a radiology program and stuff, that kind of thing. If it's, get the community college more responsive to the needs of the students that aren't looking to go to a four-year school.
Do you see any need to change the way healthcare is delivered in Iowa? Iowa's tried to expand a lot of it, trying to expand it for kids and families and such. Do you see any need to change the current system?
No, I don't. And I'm hoping that either the administration's change and Obamacare is repealed, or that it's just nullified in Iowa and we don't even do it. So, I would definitely not change it. There's ways to improve it, sure, but there we don't need to. It doesn't need to be government healthcare, or because I don't believe government has a business or place in businesses or even healthcare or anything like that.
Another issue that gets brought up, and it's been brought up for years and years and years, and hasn't really been a lot of movement on it, is the gasoline tax. It sounds like there could be an 8-cent tax brought up this year. If you were elected and an 8-cent increase was put in front of you, would you vote for it?
I wouldn't. Like I go back to saying, I don't think we need to increase any taxes. I think we can find other ways to save some money in the state. And when you look at that, that 8 cents is coming out of the profit for that business. What's their return for that? You know, then of course, what do? They're going to turn around and pass it. So you're going to get taxed 8 cents a gallon. Plus, you're going to turn around and the business owner is going to have to pass at least part of that cost on to you. So you're going to be not taxed 8 cents a gallon. It may be 12 or 16. So no, I don't see the benefit of raising it, especially at the prices they are right now. We should probably be lobbying the federal government to open up these places so we can drill, get our own oil that is going to other countries right now, and open some more refineries. So,
looking at kind of a social issue, there's been talk in recent years, but it hasn't reached to the point of calling for a constitutional, or I guess having the constitutional amendment on whether that marriage is one man, one woman, and then putting that to the voters. Do you think it should reach the point where the voters should get to decide whether that should be in the Constitution?
Well, it probably should have never came to this point. There was a loophole in Iowa law. There's a reason that this came to Iowa. It came through, and it came through the Supreme Court. Somebody somewhere, California, figured out that, hey, we can go to Iowa and we can push this through the Supreme Court and we won't give the people a chance to vote on it. Because you know as well as I do, if they would have done this when they pushed this through, if they would have had a vote on it, it wouldn't have passed. It probably won't pass today. So yeah, it's come to that now. You know, it's been forced on us through the court. So yeah, we're going to have to let the people vote on it.
Any other issue as you've been out talking to people that is on your radar now, that if you're elected to go to Des Moines, you will have this issue on the radar, that as you've been out talking to residents?
Well, it's jobs, education, a lot of people down here. It's the constitutional carry and the stand your ground stuff, and then getting businesses going again. So that's the stuff I'm going to work on. That's the stuff I'm talking about, and that's the stuff I plan on trying to work on when I get there.
And you touched on it there, the anything, Second Amendment. Are there issues that you would push? Are there legislation needed, votes needed on anything? When it comes to that, there was the other couple of years ago where it was, I believe it was changed to shall issue. What's the next step? What would you push for?
Well, we shouldn't have to push for constitutional carry at all. It's guaranteed by the Constitution. They shouldn't be doing it. With constitutional carry, it won't be a permitless carry, because if you want to carry in another state, you're still going to have an Iowa permit. But it just says that the way the Constitution reads, that anybody, the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. So that's what you want to do. Now, there's federal laws and there's some state laws about where you can and can't carry. That's fine, because states are allowed to do that. But actually, you know, the federal government is the supreme law of the land, so that's what we should actually be going by. We shouldn't, and that's what happened when it went from may issue to shall issue. In 2010, myself and about 80 or 90 other people went to Fort Madison City Council right after it passed, and it was a big meeting about the preemption, because Fort Madison was going to change a bunch of zones, and there was going to be gun-free zones, and we said, you can't do that. It's a state law that says where you can and can't carry. You can't change that and that's what they try to do. Keokuk tried to do the same thing, and only eight of us went there because, you know, we told them, hey, we were at Fort Madison. They're not going to do it, so we're going to see if you want to do it. And they said, we probably won't do that, so, which was good. I mean, they shouldn't be changing the state law, and they shouldn't be infringing on that right, because that's telling me they believe they know better what we should be doing. And I don't like government trying to run my life, so.
Really, the final thing, why are you the choice in the 83rd District?
Because I believe I'll represent the people fairly. Hasn't been that way in the past. They voted whatever party was in power. They pretty much stay with party lines. I'm just going to do what's ever best in the best interest for Southeast Iowa first.